So what I would like to do this afternoon is continue our whirlwind tour of the four Brahmavihara qualities of kindness, compassion, joy, and equanimity. And we've already seen how metta or kindness is the foundation of these qualities, and how when kindness turns towards difficulty, pain, suffering, it flowers as compassion. And on the other side of the scale, when metta or kindness turns towards what's going well, it flowers as mudita or appreciative joy, which is also often translated as sympathetic joy, altruistic joy, and sometimes simply gladness. So compassion and appreciative joy sit opposite each other as an invitation to open to what in the Taoist tradition they refer to as the 10,000 sorrows and the 10,000 joys of life. So this afternoon, I'd like to offer some guided mudita practice together. But first, just a little bit more about this quality, its benefits and challenges and some different approaches to practicing it. So last night I mentioned that Caroline Burrows and Paul Jones describe mudita as the love that celebrates, and it's an antidote to envy. It is not competitive. If it slides into agitated excitement, upekkha or equanimity brings the heart back into balance. So mudita then is the love that celebrates. And traditionally, it's a celebration of other people's happiness and good fortune. And although at first this might seem counterintuitive, as we experiment with this practice of appreciating other people's happiness, we start to discover that it increases our own happiness as well. So again, this is a practice, a training, and as with all the other practices, we're encouraged to start where it comes most easily, so that we can gradually build the mudita muscle. So traditionally, as I said, this is done to practice for other people's good fortune. And in the traditional way we've received these teachings, we leave ourselves out of the practice, in terms of the categories of different people that we offer it to. So traditionally we start with a good friend whose life is going well, and then go to a neutral person, then a difficult person, and then all beings. But we don't include ourselves in there at all. And when I first heard this, I thought it was strange, because everywhere else in the Buddha's teachings, we're encouraged to make no distinction between self and other. So I asked a Pali scholar at the Barry Center for Buddhist Studies about what this word mudita actually means. And he said that it just means gladness. And at least in the original etymology of the word, there's no sense that it has to be gladness for others. So I found out that offering mudita in terms of a sequence of people without ourselves is a later development from about 1,000 years after the lifetime of the Buddha. So as far as we know, the instructions that the Buddha himself gave are pretty similar to the ones I shared for metta, more in that style of radiating the energy. So here's one translation of the sutta that describes all the Brahmaviharas, and you'll hear that mudita here is translated as simply gladness. And the reference to quarters means the four compass directions, north, south, east, west. So the traditional instructions from the time of the Buddha, I will abide pervading one quarter with a heart imbued with gladness. Likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth. So above and below, around and everywhere, and to all as to myself, I will abide pervading the all-encompassing world with a heart imbued with gladness, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. So those of you who are here, those of you who were here last year might remember we were chanting that chant in the evenings for each of the four Brahmaviharas. So as I mentioned the other day in relation to metta, for many people to simply start with a heart imbued with kindness or gladness can be quite a stretch, which is probably why the later tradition of reciting phrases developed. And the traditional mudita phrases are things like, I'm happy for your happiness. May your happiness and joy continue. May your happiness not leave you. May your happiness continue to grow. May your good fortune shine. And for me personally, I didn't find those phrases resonated that well, so I came up with my own based on the intention of those. And so in the same way, you each are encouraged to find phrases for yourself that resonate with you. Feel free to develop your own language, your own way of expressing this. So still with that traditional sequence, we're encouraged to start with where the mudita happens most easily and naturally. And traditionally, we begin with someone we're close to, a good friend who's currently enjoying good fortune. Then we go to the benefactor, the neutral person, a so-called enemy, and then all beings. So today, we'll be focusing on the good friend, someone we feel a connection with and whose life is currently going well, someone who's experiencing some form of happiness, of good fortune, of success. Now again, because of the truth of impermanence and unsatisfactoriness, it's unlikely that you'll find someone whose life is totally perfect right now. But for the purposes of this training, just try to choose someone whose life is going pretty well and focus on the positive aspects. If other aspects of their life start to intrude, then just gently put them aside and keep coming back to and focusing on their good fortune, happiness, success. And just as with all the Brahmaviharas, there are things that get in the way. So when I've been exploring these Brahmaviharas, it seems to me that mudita is the poor cousin of the four. Because if you look on Dharma Seed, there are way less guided meditations about mudita than about any of the other Brahmaviharas. And one of my hypotheses is that this is again because of the mind's inbuilt negativity bias, that we tend to pay a lot more attention to what's challenging and difficult than to what's going well. And we can almost dismiss tuning into happiness as sort of lightweight. It might also be because traditionally mudita has been cultivated in relation to other people's happiness. And perhaps because of the dominant culture conditioning of individualism and competitiveness, it can be a stretch for many people to experience a genuine sense of celebration. And instead, it can bring up the far enemies of mudita, which are resentment and envy and jealousy. So remembering that as with all of these Brahmaviharas, what's in the way is the way. And these practices are designed to show us the obstacles so that when we recognize them, we can start to transform them. And in the case of mudita, what's often revealed is an unconscious poverty mentality, a sense of lack, that if somebody over there has something good happen for them, then there's less available for me. And also, because of that competitiveness, it doesn't always come easy to celebrate another person's good fortune. But the Dalai Lama has a famous quote in this regard. He says, if you are able to cultivate a sense of happiness for the good fortune of others, then our chances of happiness increase by 7 billion to 1. So those are pretty good odds. So just a word about the translation of mudita as appreciative joy, especially in Anglo-Saxon dominant cultures, the word joy for many people can feel like a stretch. It might feel like it's just not part of my emotional repertoire. It's not available to me. So if joy feels like a stretch, focus on the appreciation side of it. It doesn't have to be a great big wave of powerful emotion. It can just be a subtle flicker of warmth, of gratitude, of perhaps lightness. You might think of it even as simply contentment. And again, when it comes to thinking about the happiness and successes of other people, these don't have to be huge, dramatic situations and events. It's fine, as we did the other night in the talk, to just bring to mind simple, immediate things that we can appreciate on behalf of the other person. And so a few years ago when I was volunteering in the prison in Massachusetts, I was bringing these four Brahmavihara practices in fairly early on in my time there. And so I didn't know the men particularly well. And as we were coming towards doing the mudita practice, I was feeling a little bit awkward or embarrassed about even asking people in prison to cultivate joy. Because I thought, well, maybe it's going to be cruel to invite them to find things they could feel grateful for. But nothing could have been further than the truth. When I actually brought the practice in, they immediately got it. And that Sunday session was one of the most lively that we ever did, because each man just kept finding more and more things that they could name to appreciate. And they got on such a roll that it was hard to actually bring the session to a close. So just a few examples that they shared. One man talked about feeling grateful every time he put on his socks in the morning, because he'd been living on the street, and many people on the street don't have socks. Another man talked about the joy he felt whenever he was able to feed a squirrel that came and perched on his windowsill every day. And he would save little bits of food from the chow hall so he could offer it to that squirrel. And another man talked about what happened when he was asked to move to a different cell and to a different bed. He was assigned a top bunk. And at first he was annoyed, thinking it would be a real hassle to have to climb up there every night. But when he got up there on the first night, he realized that the top half of the window that the bunk was next to didn't have bars, whereas the lower part did. So he could lie in his bunk at night and have an unimpeded view of the night sky and the stars. And he felt like he could connect with the sky without being reminded that he was in jail. And he said every time he did that at night, just for a few moments, he felt like he was free again. So all of us have our own ways of connecting with what we can appreciate and feel a sense of gratitude for. And the phrases I'll work with are, I'm happy for your happiness. I take joy in your good fortune. May your joy continue. May it grow. May it lead to ever-increasing ease and freedom. So I include that last phrase because it's not just joy for its own sake. It's joy in the service of freedom. So as you think about who you might like to do this practice in relation to, whereas with compassion I invited you to stay low down the scale of intensity in terms of how much suffering the person is experiencing, here with joy, feel free to boost it. So no holds barred. See if you can, if you know somebody whose good fortune success is at a 10, then go for it. Okay, so ready to give that a go. Again, if this doesn't feel like the right time, this isn't compulsory, but if you'd like to experiment, just beginning to settle into a sitting posture.